Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers. Welcome to another edition of Chart Choppers on the Chop Sports Network. This is your host, Alan Austin, joined by Dave Sturcio, of course, for our top 10 positional players in each division of the NFL. Last week, or earlier this week, we did the NFC South.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. And some good discussion on that episode, Dave.
There was. We got a little bit of a heated debate. Tom Brady comes in at number one as greatest player ever to play the game of football today.
Ever today. Like a 90s like band. Ever today.
It sounds like it. And if it's not, it's going to be one. Yeah. But yeah, whatever. This is your list, and this is
it was a packed episode. We had a lot to discuss. There was a lot of debate.
20 players.
20 players, but it rolled quick. You know, we had a lot of debate over Tom Brady and Calvin Ridley and the Falcons, and you said the Panthers are the best team since the 90-something Cowboys. I don't know.
Calm down.
AFC South, going to be a lot easier to cover.
I realize? And maybe you can just, this might be a spoiler.
Sure.
There's no kickers or punters on any of your lists.
Yeah, because I think...
Don't be careful. Tread lightly. There's a lot of special team lovers out there.
There are a lot, but I'm saying though, we've had this discussion on a previous episode. How do you compare one position's best to another position's fifth best when that fifth best is going to be better than the best?
Blah, blah, blah. Yep.
It's tough. Kickers, punters. You look, kickers have the most points individually in the sport, right?
Correct.
Historically. So It is what it is. It's just, if you, you want to do a quick kicker?
No, I don't.
All right, that's what I thought. So I think top 10 kickers would be an Instagram live list. So
and then you better get to it.
AFC South, tough division to find 10 even. That's harsh.
No,
I found
no, 10. The Colts got some players. The Titans got some players.
It's mainly a Colts and Titans list.
Yeah, I would say. Go ahead.
All right. Tough division. First of all, this might be one of the weaker divisions in the whole NFL.
I agree.
I mean, a lot of Colt fans out there, a lot to like, except for the quarterback.
A lot to like, except for COVID and their injuries, and there's just so many things going on with the Colts. And by the time you're listening to this, I'm sure it's all going to be good. Yeah. But yeah, it's tough.
If not good, different.
Correct.
Colts have a lot of good things. We will start with the Colts. No, sorry. We are going to start with the Titans at number 10. Ben Jones, the center. You know I always love to shout out the offensive lineman. This guy has been one of the keys to Derrick Henry's success the last couple of years. He is number one in terms of opening up the lane for his running back. He is an elite center who has created one of the best running backs we've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I feel like centers don't get enough love, to be honest with you. That offensive line, people are always talking about the guards and the tackles, but let's be honest. Who touches that ball first every down?
Ben Jones, the center.
Yep.
Tennessee Titans,
with it.
Number 10. Number 9 is one of the more Colt fans will be right there with me on this one. One of the more exciting defensive players in the NFL is Kenny Moore.
I like him.
Mostly a slot corner, but the guy is all over the field, and I love ballers like this. Players that you can rely on them to be around the play each time. Like, I'm sure the Cowboys have a guy that you think qualifies.
On defense?
Yeah.
Debatable.
Not. Giants have Jabril Peppers.
I like Peppers.
All over the place. Mm-hmm. Kenny Moore, cornerback, will try to go after the quarterback, will be a ball hawk, will go after the running back. He will be all over the field. You got to love players like that are not afraid to grind. Kenny Moore, number 9. Number 8, DeForest Buckner, another defensive player.
New to the division.
New to the division, but...
New-ish.
You know, well, yeah, new-ish, but he's someone who is a gamer.
Yes, absolutely. No disagreements there.
Big body defensive tackle. You're a big fan of the defensive
tackle. Definitely, run stopper.
He is right there. Number 7, another Colt, Darius Leonard. Some would say he's one of the better linebackers in the game. I think
he just got paid like one.
Just got paid like one.
Big time.
He, to me, is top 10 linebacker in the NFL. You might say, well, you said this division stinks. Now that we're at the number 7 and Darius Leonard's at 7, we're going to start to cook a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Very top-heavy division.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard, would you have him higher? You want to see where the names go?
Yeah, I guess I'll see where everything else plays out and shakes out.
Number 6, another guy who's getting paid. Paid. Laremy Tunsil.
What?
How do you...
You know what it is? It's just one of those bad trades in the NFL. Like
that, you think the trade over, like,
it does
casts
it,
a huge shadow it does. Over his abilities.
It does, and you know his draft day stuff was hilarious. I mean, like, you know, him having this the weed mask or whatever. But yeah, the trade is going to overshadow his play, unfortunately, because he's like part of those bad trades that Bill O'Brien just loved to make. But
GM / head coach.
I didn't think that was a thing. Like, the fact that he was making all these moves and traded away all the best players, I don't know. But Tunsil is good. Don't get me wrong. He's a very, very good offensive lineman. I'd say he's
top 10 offensive tackle.
I would probably.
Unfortunately for him, his reputation is that he got traded from the Dolphins for all these picks and blah, blah, blah. And that team is atrocious.
The Texans?
Yeah.
They have potential to be the number 2 pick next year.
Who do you have at number 1?
Detroit.
Detroit, yeah. It's them, Detroit, and I honestly think Philly will be in that bottom.
I'm here for that, but we'll see.
We'll see. Houston, and if they get rid of Watson, they're even worse off. Yeah,
he's gone already, in my mind. He's gone. So it's like he's either going to not dress or he's going to play for another team. So that team is moving on from Deshaun Watson based off all the shit that's going on.
By the time this gets released, that may very well happen.
100%. That's what I think it's the thing right now. Like, they're just going to have him as inactive every week until he's gone. So
I will, spoiler alert, he's on this list.
Because he's an all-world player.
Right.
But he's an all-world piece of shit, too. Yeah, so.
I hate putting guys who get really bad off the field trouble on a list like this, but I'm going to try.
How can you not?
Yeah. So we'll get to him in a second. But Laramie Tunsil on the list. He has to be. He's got the abilities.
With it.
Top 5 now. This is a stacked 5. Number 5, A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, to me, was, I still think he's the better receiver out of the two with him and Julio.
Wow.
I do. And I think A.J. Brown's one of the top receivers in football. And he doesn't get enough burn. He reminds me, and this is the Cowboys bias in me, but he reminds me of a Dez Bryant, where it's speed, strength, get up and get it, get out of my face. We'll, like, you try to jam him at the line, good luck, because he's going to throw you down. Maybe he's learned a couple things from Derrick Henry. You know what I'm saying? Like, this kid is really, really good at football. And I think that's why there was so much attention drawn his way last year, that Corey Davis got paid to go to New York, because Corey Davis had a hell of a year last year. And that's because all the coverage was on A.J. Brown, because he's that damn good.
That's going to help Julio and A.J.
That Tannehill's going to be a freaking fantasy beast.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was against, but I saw a play last year where A.J. Brown caught a ball and broke like 4 tackles.
And it's like, that's another day at the office for him. He's a monster.
And he scored. And it was like, that was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen.
Definitely.
Like, A.J. Brown, number 5, and number 4 is Julio Jones.
Okay, so they have 2 of their top 5 players in this division. I'm not against it. Interchangeable. I would swap him just because I think that's just the way I see it. But Julio Jones is big chip on his shoulder this year, that he's still got the juice, and he's on a better offense than he was last year.
You mentioned he was traded for a bag of balls, so let him go out there and show that
he will.
He was worth a lot more.
Yeah.
Honorable mentions, very quick list. Ryan Tannehill.
Underrated, caught a bad rep because of his Dolphins days, but.
Do you think a Sam Darnold situation can happen the way Tannehill's did? Or do you think Tannehill has better weapons?
I see what you're saying, but Tannehill's kind of equipped more. He's got a phenomenal running game. You know,
I think Tannehill's a better player.
I think so, too.
Another honorable mention. Andrew Norwell on the Jacksonville Jaguars, offensive guard.
Is that your only Jaguar?
He's an honorable mention. There are no Jaguars on this list. Again, I didn't state the rules at the beginning. Just a reminder, no rookies can be on the list. But I am seeing a lot of hate for Trevor Lawrence out there anyway.
I just watched him dice up the Cowboys the other day, and I was just like, God damn. I mean, it was all of our backups, and I say that just to make sure I feel better about it. But the boy can throw.
He has a lot of haters.
Yeah,
I think
he does.
People just hate the fact that he doesn't seem to have the passion for
football. It's his hair.
You think it's the hair?
Yeah.
And the fact that didn't his dad come out and say football's not everything for him? If he quit the sport, he'd be fine or something.
Was it him? Okay. Yeah, maybe. So I don't know.
I think fans have a lot of, if he was in New York, that would never fly.
Not at all.
So he can be in Jacksonville with a college coach like Urban Meyer and be happy for days, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. So no honorable mention yet. Jayon Brown, Zach Cunningham, Miles Jack, all really good defensive players.
Miles Jack, shout out to Miles Jack, who was playing in the fourth quarter of the third preseason game for the Jaguars against the Cowboys.
How about that?
Like, he made a tackle, and he was like, tackled by Miles Jack. I was like, what the frick is he still doing in the game? Like, does he need those reps? I don't think he needs those reps.
But, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to him.
Shout out to him. Yeah, and Brandon Cooks. I always like watching Brandon Cooks play.
He's like an overall, like, good receiver, can catch the ball, can take the cover off the top, but also can lay a block when you need to. You know, he's definitely a good ball player.
And there are going to be people who say, how did one of these three players not get in over Ben Jones, Kenny Moore? I want to see a little bit more from James Robinson and Jonathan Taylor.
Like, and the only reason why James Robinson is shooting up the charts again is because they lost their kid. Yeah. And Tiani's out for a year.
He was ready to be
And Jonathan back. Taylor, I'm surprised, did not make this list. I thought he was that good last year to make this list, but...
I thought he was good, too. I think that team's in trouble. I don't know. I
with the Colts?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
They have some really good players, but we'll see. They have a really good offensive line.
T.Y.'s out for the first couple weeks, too. But I love Michael Pittman Jr.
I like Michael Pittman. Mm-hmm. I think their defense is, you know, we talked about a couple.
Another one that I watched his dad play. Now it's starting to, like, really, like, Michael Pittman was, like, one of my guys back in the day, and I'm like, how the frick am I watching your son play now? Holy
J.C.
shit.
Horn. And yeah, Joe Moore Jr. played for the Guardians in the XFL.
That's right.
James Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, honorable mentions. This time next year, both could easily be in the top 10.
Mm.
David Johnson, I think his time has passed. I think
the mighty have fallen, man. He was going in the first round of some fantasy drafts a couple years back, and now it's just like being drafted.
It was him and Zeke 1 year, where it was like, who's going first?
I know. Weird.
And he had a good year last year. I don't think he's going to replicate even that this year. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. I just don't think he's a top 10 player in that division right now.
No.
Number three, the best offensive guard in the NFL, arguably with Zach Martin, Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, Quentin Nelson. I'll never forget the first video. Do you remember seeing, have you ever seen that video of him when he's like pull blocking, but he's running down the field?
Yes.
And he's just screaming on the top of his lungs?
Yeah.
Like, imagine a man that size, that powerful, scream. That's like Dan Moff coming running full speed at you. And Dan Moff, professional wrestler, independent legend, running full speed at you, just
screaming. Yeah.
Just like, and you're like, you have no idea what's about to hit you. And then you're just dead before you know it. Quentin Nelson's the best guard in football. So it's just, I love Zach Martin. I think as a Cowboy fan, you want to put him above.
Martin's two.
Yeah, no, yeah. Definitely. But I just, again, I think Nelson took that leap and now he's the guy.
Colts fans have a lot to be happy about when they took Nelson in the draft the last couple of years,
100%.
Now we get to the big question. Who's one? Who's two? And I think until he's out of the division, he's going to be in the top spot. So number two, Derrick Henry.
Number two, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Just trying to think of his division.
We already talked about it. Deshaun Watson's going to be number one.
Oh, wow. You put him in number one.
Until he leaves the division. He is an elite quarterback.
He is. So, another one another one I don't think
Chris
is
Gucci
than
would
that.
Say this is a quarterback league.
It is a quarterback league, and that's fine in that regard. Let's not brush over Henry.
No, we're going to talk about him right now because Deshaun Watson doesn't deserve really to be talked about.
Agreed.
So why don't we do this? For all intents and purposes, Deshaun Watson's number one, but let's spend the rest of the time talking about Derrick Henry because Derrick Henry has put together some of the best seasons I've ever seen out of the running back position and done it with authority.
No
smoke and mirrors here.
The scary part is how much more is in that tank, right? And we say that almost every year with him. With him. You're like, he had all these carries last year. Let's see how much is in the tank. And then he just winds up choke slamming people on his way to a touchdown. And you're like, okay, you know. So now I'm looking at a guy like Derrick Henry this year where it's another year after a lot of volume, dude, a lot of carries last year. Can he do it? I think there's a little, I'm talking the slightest of regression, slightest.
But that's not a regression in theory.
Right, because if he goes from 2,000 yards to 1,800, that's still he's still going to win the damn rushing title.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's not that big of a regression stat-wise. I just think that he takes a lot of, I can't even say he takes a beating because
he does the beatings,
yeah. Right. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. Derrick Henry is something special, and I'm regretting.
And he's very easy to root for.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the guy.
He shows up. He puts his worker boots on.
Oh, definitely.
Like, that guy.
Oh.
Wow.
He's all world. All
week
world.
One is an interesting matchup for them. Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be running. Can you imagine him against J.J. Watt one-on-one or Chandler Jones?
Is Watt going to play week one?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, so, he's off the pup list.
And you know, I'm not a believer in the Cardinals, but I think that's a really good test for them right off the bat, the Titans.
Definitely. Is that in Arizona?
It's in Tennessee.
Okay.
And I think the Titans are going to roll to the South Championship and take home a top two seed.
If this Colts thing keeps doing what they're doing, where they don't have a quarterback and, you know, they're getting riddled by injuries. Yeah.
It's the same thing that's going to happen to the Vikings this year. Like,
yeah,
you never know who's going to be on the field for you that given week.
That's true. That's very true.
Too much of a herd mentality in the negative right now, mm-hmm. it seems. But Colts are super talented, but I think the Titans are the team. They are going to win that division.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of, can you get enough wins to be the one seed? And I don't know if that's a thing. I think Kansas City, of course, is just going to be Kansas City. And so they'll probably host a playoff game in the wild card round, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But
yeah,
we've seen what happens to them once they get to the bigger show. Is this the year they get over the hump? I don't know. But if they do, it's going to be because of Derrick Henry.
I read something that said that they're thing holding them back is Mike Vrabel. And I think that's a little unfair.
He's defensive minded, but I don't know if that's holding them back. Their defense isn't that good. And it's like, it's weird because when you have a defensive coach like Mike Vrabel, you think that's like the focal point, and it really wasn't.
No, their offense is a juggernaut.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't find a hole in that offense right now. Maybe tight end, but even like Fursker, I think he's from Jersey.
Yeah.
He's a Jersey kid. I think he's going to be a good tight end this year.
Yeah. And I think it's unfair to say that about Vrabel because I think they show up and play for him.
Like, they do. They do.
A lot of coaches on the hot seat.
Did you see what he did with the Twitter thing? Did you hear about that?
No.
So he has COVID, right? So he had to do his thing where he's just sitting at home doing nothing. And the media, the Titans media, started asking him questions. And he flipped it. He, like, did the ultimate troll job. He's like, actually, I have questions for you, and you, because I finally got a chance to get on my Twitter, and I saw all my mentions, so I have questions for all of you. And, like, he's flipped the whole thing on its ear, and people were just like, I didn't mean to say that, Mike. I'm sorry, coach. Like, it was just great for him to call out the media and all their shenanigans and whatever the hell they just think they can get away with.
Yeah. And, you know,
Vrabel's a badass dude, bro. You know, he's just...
Most of that Patriot team was, you know...
Check, it starts at the top.
We are part of the media who criticizes and judges.
Fine, yeah.
But I think we're a little bit more forgiving and ready to say we're sorry. And this, some of these journalists, man, they go in unforgiving. Like,
and then they never wind up in another clubhouse or another locker room again.
They get a vendetta and they don't let it go.
No, it's silly. It's silly.
The poor Mets. They have so many beat writers who hate them and cover them every day.
You say the Mets. I raise you that. Do you remember that one guy that was in baseball that tried to expose, like, all the cheating that was going on? Do you remember that? You probably don't, because it was like a non-story very quickly.
Okay.
But he thought he had all the fuel in the world. He's like, I've been sitting on this forever. Here we go. I'm going to release everything. And then he released everything, and he got the backlash that he did. He came back the next day, retracted everything, said he apologized, and now he's probably working for the freaking Toronto Argonauts. Like minor league football. You know what I mean? Like, he is.
Sounds like he could be selling my pillows.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, look, journalists, like, I we don't have, at least yet, real vendettas against athletes.
Jalen Smith.
We want to see our teams play well.
Yeah.
And I'm not the kind of fan who loves to be negative for entertainment value.
No.
I'm not that
guy either.
That's Twitter. That's like the definition of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Get off on negativity. Mm-hmm. Misery loves company, whatever you want to say.
I think Twitter is like a really bad tasting water in a water cooler.
Yeah.
Like, you're just standing around. You're like, I'm going to make sure everybody's miserable just like me. And it's like such a bad space. You know, like, I try to bring all the positivity in the world. But sometimes when you're on Twitter, forget it. You're drowned.
You're human.
Right.
Like, the number of like people with 9 numbers after their name.
Okay, Mike, 4544-4296. Shut your mouth
with
over there.
No followers.
Zero. Following. Or they're an egghead. They have the avatar that's blank.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of losers.
They follow 900 people.
You're right. and are followed by their other burner right. account.
But, you know, if you give credence to those people, that's all they need.
Yeah, dude. It's just a little, here you go. Here's a little stoke to the fire. And then they just, blow up.
Yeah.
It's been a rough year in media, man, because it's between sports and politics and COVID and all this shit, it's not fun. So that's why I'm excited football's back, because this is going to take over everything.
Well,
so.
I mean, media also, I did finger quotes because just because it's on Twitter does not mean it should be considered journalistic media. And I think people forget that sometimes.
I think the credible people know that. Like when I read something, I'm like, I'll go to his page. I'll see his following. I'm like, okay, I'll take you serious one day. Yeah. You know, like I know who to take serious, who not to. You pick your favorite beat writers. You pick your people that know their shit about their craft. And those are the people that you can appreciate. But there are other people with the egg emojis and stuff like that. I'm not listening
and
to
being
crap.
That we're both big pro wrestling fans, mm-hmm. the dirt sheets over the years have just been so bad.
Pro wrestling got a bad, bad, bad reputation over the last year, man. And that's why I personally said I'm done with it.
Well,
you know?
I mean, more so like a report comes out that just is fake, like all the time.
It's just, yeah, because
some
they're
guy
bored.
Told some guy.
Some goober is down there with Cheeto dust on his chest in his mom's basement. He's like, I heard CM Punk's going to Impact. Right. Like, well, guess what, pal?
Yeah.
Turn on the TV. He's not there. No. You know, like, stop.
It's a lot of, but that is now, that what I learned from wrestling is bleeding into all sports now.
It is. So it is. It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. But on a happy note, let's recap the top 10. 10, Ben Jones. 9, Kenny Moore. 8, DeForest Buckner. 7, Darius Leonard. 6, Laramie Tunsil. 5, A.J. Brown. 4, Julio Jones. 3, Quentin Nelson. 2, Derrick Henry. And 1, Deshaun Watson, who by the time this gets released may not even be in the division anymore, in which case everyone slides up, and for all intents and purposes, Ryan Tannehill would be number 10. So, Dave, do you have any big gripes with this list?
No, I think it's well done. Like I said, interchangeable parts with Julio and A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown, just because of the youth factor, has got a bigger upside. But other than that, I'm good with it. And it's unfortunate, you know, what Deshaun Watson has got going on. But he is an all-world player. We don't have to talk about him. But, you know, let's call it how it is. When he's on the field, he's great. When he's off the field, he's shit.
So well, that. I think the Texans with him are at minimum a 5-1 team. Without him, who knows what.
Right. They might be on the clock.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So.
Thank you, Dave. And next time we will be back heading out west. We're going to put on some cowboy boots, not the kind you like, more like real Western ones. And we'll tackle those two divisions. But as for now, that's that. Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers.